نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى has created us to worship him. To become his worshippers, to become his devotees. To become his slaves. And a slave is he who under all circumstances obeys the orders of the master. A person purchased a slave, he bought a slave. So the slave moved from one master to another master. It was his first day with the new master. So the new master asked him, "What is your preference in eating?" So he said, "Whatever you prefer." "What is your preference in sleeping?" "Whatever you prefer." "What is your preference in clothing?" He said, "Whatever you prefer." So the master asked him, "Do you not have any desires? Do you not have any choice of your own? Whenever I ask you a question, you say, 'Whatever you prefer, whatever you desire, whatever you want.'" So the slave was very clever. He replied and he said, "If I had any choice of my own, I would not have been a slave." A slave is he who has no choice. He is completely under his master. And we are very, very fortunate to have a very powerful master, very wise master, very kind master, very compassionate master. So he will command us, but he will command us to do those things which benefit us, not him. So we are his slaves and he is our master. And the duty of a slave is to obey every instruction of his master. All the do's and all the don'ts. Do this, the slave will do it. Do this, the slave will do it. Do this, the slave will. Don't do this, the slave will stay away from it. Don't do this, the slave will stay away from it. Don't do this, the slave will stay away from it. If the master showers him with bounty, he will remain happy. He will become very happy. And if the master causes him inconvenience or difficulty, he will not complain, because he is a slave. He will not complain. He will exercise patience. So we are slaves, Allah is our master. If He showers us with bounty, these bounties will make us happy. But if once in a while, as I said earlier, He is very wise, He is very compassionate, very merciful. As a result of His mercy, as a result of His compassion, as a result of His wisdom, once in a while, if He was to create circumstances whereby we are inconvenienced for a few moments, a few days, sometimes a few weeks, maybe a few months, sometimes a few years also, the slave will not complain. What will the slave say? The slave will say, I belong to Allah, I am His slave, He is my master. So I am happy with whatever condition I am in. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And when inconvenienced by circumstances, if the slave exercises patience and he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him mercies, special mercies, and also hidayah. Allah grants him three blessings. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers the servant with bounties, alhamdulillah, bounty is a bounty. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicts His servants with a calamity, even that is a bounty. As long as the servant and the slave remains a servant and slave, and he accepts that he is my master, I cannot complain. I will exercise patience, sabr. The Quran says that as soon as the slave exercises patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him three blessings. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah will grant him mercy, rahmah. Allah will grant him salawat, special rahmah, special mercy. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And Allah will grant him hidayah. In olden days, when travelers used to travel with their goods, then they would travel on a donkey, on a camel. So they would fill one sack, two bags with goods, balance it properly and put one sack on this side of the donkey, the other sack on the other side of the donkey. And if the goods was more than the two sacks can carry, then he would make a small bundle and he would put it in his lap. He would ride the donkey and he would put it in his lap. The two sacks on the side were known as idlan. Two equal weights, because we have to keep it equal so that the donkey or the camel is able to travel with ease. Idlan. Two balanced sacks. And the bundle that the traveler would carry in his lap was known as ilawa. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after reciting this verse, used to say, Ni'mal idlan wa ni'mal ilawa. He used to say that for the person who practices patience, right hand side bag is full for him and the left hand side bag is full for him. Salawat and rahmah. And because Allah will give him the third thing, the two bags are full, so he'll have to make a bundle of hidayah to carry. So the person who is patient is very, very lucky that he has everything full for him. So the master, the master, a human master, a human dictator, a human king, a human ruler, he will do whatever he desires. The public, the subjects will not be able to complain. But it's not necessary that he is just. It's not necessary that he is compassionate. It's not necessary that he is merciful. He may be a just ruler, he may be merciful, he may be compassionate, but it's not necessary. He may be just, he may be compassionate, he may be merciful, but maybe not wise. So there are so many possibilities of making error and causing inconvenience to people without any reason. But our master is just, our master is wise, our master is compassionate, our master is merciful. So only that will happen which he will decide. And we as slaves are ready to accept whatever he decides for us. But he will always decide what is good and right for us. He will never make a mistake. He will never oppress us. He will never be harsh for no reason. He will never punish us for no reason. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that there are certain people who are inflicted in this world, and there are others who remain in afiyah, safety. Two categories of people. One person is suffering from fever, so he has been inflicted. All the others are in afiyah. Somebody has a headache, so he has been inflicted. All the others are in afiyah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward this brother who was inflicted, when Allah will forgive his sins and when Allah will reward him, that I am forgiving your sins because you were inflicted in the world and you bore the infliction with patience. And your patience was of such a high caliber that I am rewarding you as well. So those brothers who are in afiyat in this world, in safety, when they will see the forgiveness and all the reward, they will wish that they were also inflicted in this world. They would also wish that I wish I was also inflicted in the world, so I would have been forgiven today and I would have been rewarded today. And the reckoning would have become very easy, and entry into Jannah would become very easy for me. And they would desire that I wish I was inflicted to such a degree that my skin was cut with scissors, so I would have been rewarded more for being inflicted in the world. So whatever we experience in this world, we are his slaves and he is our master. We don't have the right to complain. But alhamdulillah, he does not oppress. So we are content that whatever he will do, it will be for our good. All the time he showers mercies, good food today, good food tomorrow, good food the day after, good food. And once in a while we are traveling and we can't find a halal shop and we have to do with a packet of crisp, a glass of water, and we complain. Once in a while this. Today healthy, tomorrow healthy, the day after healthy, and inflicted with fever for 2-3 days we complain. Slaves don't complain. Especially if the master is very kind. Especially if the slave owes everything to the master. It is the master who has created us. So we owe everything to the master. Luqman Hakim, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ Luqman alayhi salam. He was very, very wise. So he is known as Luqman Hakim. Hikmah, he was wise. Luqman the wise. Very wise, very clever. There are two opinions of the Mufassirin. One opinion is that he was the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other opinion is that he was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether Nabi or Wali, he was a very pious person. And he was so pious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned his statements in the glorious Quran. His advices to his son, Ya Bunayya Inna Intaku Miskala Habbatin Min Khardalin, various advices. So during his life, he was employed by somebody. And because of ilm, because of hikmah, and because of amal on ilm, if a person has ilm, and with ilm if he practices, then he becomes a perfect human. And when a person becomes a perfect human, he becomes beloved to everybody. So Luqman Hakim was a perfect human, so he was beloved by everybody, including his employer. His employer had a lot of love for him as well. So much so that whenever something nice would come to the employer, he would call Luqman Hakim, call Luqman. And he would serve him. Apple, pear, orange, something nice, nice to eat, something nice to wear, he would call Luqman Hakim and say, here, take this. This is gift for you. So one day, a melon came from somewhere. Very nice melon. So he called Luqman Hakim and he cut the melon into slices and he made pieces of the melon, and out of love he started feeding Luqman Hakim with his own hand as his normal habit. And Luqman Hakim carried on eating the melon, one piece, second piece, third piece, fourth piece, fifth piece, with happiness on the face. When the last and final piece was left in the hand of the master thought, I should also taste this melon. So when he put the last piece in his mouth, he spat it out because it was very bitter. Luqman Hakim ate the whole bitter melon without complaining. And the master, when he tasted the bitter, he spat it out and he said to Luqman Hakim, why did you not tell me that it was bitter? So he said, Luqman Hakim, he said, all this time that I have stayed with you, through your blessed hands, so many sweet items came into my mouth. So if once in a while something bitter came, how can I become ungrateful to you? How can I show my resentment? How can I complain? How can I say, no, this is bitter? So if something sweet comes from you, it's okay. If something bitter comes, no. In Urdu we say, meetha meetha hadab, kadwa kadwa thu. No, it is being ungrateful to someone who is always conferring his favors upon us. Look at the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our eyes are perfect, our ears are perfect, teeth perfect, tongue perfect, brain perfect, heart perfect, kidneys perfect, liver perfect. We eat whatever we desire, we drink whatever we desire. And then there are so many types in one item, whichever item we desire, whichever type we desire. Ice cream, no, not this. No, not this one, not anything else. And some people will go as far as the kitchen as well to look for what's cooking inside in restaurants. So kind Allah subhanahu. He brings us to his house. During the Fajr Salat, I was thinking to myself that everything is silent in this masjid. Everything is silent during these two rakats, and the Imam is reciting the glorious Quran, and each and every brother is being blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to very silently, without even the urge to go into ruku, listen to the glorious Quran. So much sukoon, so much peace, so much spirituality, because of so many sincere brothers who have come from far and wide only to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the true enjoyment. This is the true, all unlawful enjoyments are superficial enjoyments. They are not enjoyments. Superficial. The example of unlawful enjoyments is scratching. If you are suffering from eczema, and when you scratch, you enjoy the scratch. But that is not enjoyment. Because if that was enjoyment, nobody would have gone to the doctor. They enjoy the scratch, but they still go to the doctor and they say, I don't want this scratch. Why? Because they understand that this is superficial enjoyment. If I continue with this enjoyment, what will happen after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months? My skin will rot. As a result of unlawful enjoyment, our spirituality rots, our yakin rots, our tawadu and humbleness rots, our love for Allah rots, our recognition for Allah rots, our love for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam becomes rotten. We lose everything as a result of unlawful enjoyment. Unlawful glances, evil glances, movies, films, music, ghibah. Many people find enjoyment in ghibah also. Slandering, many people find slandering. Enjoyment, the true enjoyment, the real enjoyment, the true satisfaction, the real satisfaction lies only in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is satisfaction? What is enjoyment? Contentment of heart. The heart feels content that Alhamdulillah, I have found enjoyment. Alhamdulillah, I am satisfied. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. There are so many ulama sitting in this gathering. Teachers of ahadith, teachers of tafsir sitting here, muftis. Ask them. There is so much emphasis. Allah, listen carefully. It's a very, very important statement. Listen carefully. Bi dhikrillahi, only in the remembrance of Allah. Only in the remembrance of Allah. Tatma'innul qulub, do hearts find contentment and satisfaction. Only. There is nothing else. Only in the remembrance of Allah. And there are levels of remembrance of Allah. One level is the heart and mind is elsewhere, but the tongue is saying Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. This is the lowest level of zikr. Lowest level of zikr. The heart and mind is somewhere else. Heart and mind is not remembering Allah. The body is not remembering Allah. The body is in the disobedience of Allah. Only the tongue is saying Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Lowest level of zikr. But people find solace. People find contentment. People find peace as a result of this lowest type of zikr. A person is sick, he is in bed, he is in agony, pain. What should he be doing? He should be repenting and he should be performing his duties towards Allah. So he should repent and start performing 5 times salat also. But no, he is not performing 5 times salat. But out of pain, he is saying, Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. So heart and mind is not with Allah, and the body is not with Allah. Or heart and mind is with Allah, but body is not with Allah. He is not obeying Allah. He is not repenting. He is neglecting salah, neglecting the commands of Allah. He is in bed, and he, whenever he gets the opportunity, he is watching TV also and watching films also, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not repenting. But even this person, when out of pain, he says, oh Allah, he finds peace. He finds solace that my Allah is with me. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that with how much ever negligence a person remembers Allah. With how much ever negligence a person remembers Allah, this remembrance will definitely have an effect on his heart. Allah ka naam kitni hi ghaflat se liya jaye, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Allah ka naam kitni hi ghaflat se liya jaye, asar kiye bagair nahi rehta. So if Allah's name, when uttered with negligence, has a profound effect on the heart, then what about that zikr, where a person is remembering Allah with his heart and mind? How much effect that zikr will have? This is the first level, that the heart and mind is not with him, but he is saying Allah, Allah. That will also have an effect. And the second, his heart and mind is also with him. When he is remembering Allah, his focus is on Allah. That I'm remembering my Allah. I'm remembering my Allah. And because Allah said, فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me, I will remember you. He actually feels that because I am remembering Allah, Allah is also remembering me. Abu Usman al-Nahdi rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, that I know when Allah is remembering me. He used to say, I know when Allah is remembering me. So people asked him, how do you know when Allah is remembering you? So he said that Allah says, remember me, I will remember you. So whenever Allah gives me the tawfiq to remember him, I know that he is remembering me. First level of zikr. And the second level of zikr is that I am remembering Allah. I am remembering Allah. My Allah must be very happy because I am praising him. I am remembering him. The heart and the mind. And third, heart, mind and the body. So he remembers Allah at the time of Zohar, and he is performing Zohar also. He is in the town center, and the opportunity to glance at a non-mahram woman is there, but he remembers Allah, that no, my Allah is watching me. And he, so practically he is remembering Allah. This is the highest level of zikr. The more a person exceeds in zikr, the more sukoon, the more itminan, the more comfort, the more solace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him. We cannot acquire solace, comfort of the heart through other methods, through drugs, through alcohol, through adultery, through fornication, through music. These are not the sources of comfort. These are superficial comforts, superficial enjoyments, superficial solaces. Na duniya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se. Na duniya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se. Wealth, money, big mansion does not bring contentment of heart. Contentment of heart comes only through the remembrance of Allah. First level, second level, third level. The more we excel, the more contentment we will acquire. Na duniya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se, tasalli dil ko milti hai khuda ko yaad karne se. So let us focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become His slaves. Become His slaves. Let us totally submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who believes that He is the slave of Allah? Raise your hands. We all believe we are slaves of Allah. And what does a slave do? He obeys the master. The person who does not obey the master is not known as slave. If we have any choice, we are. And alhamdulillah, the master is very wise, master is very kind, master is very compassionate. He sent approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? To guide his slaves. To guide his slaves. To teach his slaves how to stay away from wrong things and how to do good things. He sent his most beloved Nabi, Sayyidul Mursaleen, sallallahu, to guide us. What a great favor upon us and what a great honor for us that His most beloved Nabi was sent to for our guidance. That is how much He loves us, that He sent His most beloved Nabi that go into the world and guide my slaves. Show them the path that leads them to Me and My Jannah. So we need to learn the do's of our master and the don'ts of our master. And we need to carry out the do's of our master and abstain from the don'ts of our master. Certain do's and certain do's are farz and wajib. We have no choice. So the category of do's is divided into two parts. Farz and wajib, sunnah, mustahab and nafal. Sunnah, mustahab and nafl. Farz and wajib, we have no choice. Because the master said you have to do this. Sunnah, mustahab and nafl, we have choice. The master said it's up to you. If you do it, you will excel. If you don't do it, you will not excel. We have a choice. But because the master is very kind, he gives us so many things, we should try our utmost to carry out Sunnah as well and Mustahab as well and Nafal as well, and we will not benefit the master, we will benefit ourselves. Don'ts also fall within two categories. Haram and Makruhat Tahrimiyah, the master said you must stay away from it, all in all, it's very harmful for you. Harmful for you. Haram and makruhate tahrimi is poison for you. So stay away from it. It's just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, La takraba hadihi shajara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not behaving as a dictator that you can eat anything in Jannah except this because I'm saying so. No, because Allah knew the effect of eating that item. If you eat from this item, you will have to leave Jannah. So this is poison for you, so don't eat. So don't go near adultery, it's poison for you. Fornication, poison for you. Drugs, poison for you. Alcohol, poison for you. Backbiting, poison for you. Stay away from all these things. Out of kindness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us. And the doctor will say, you have to eat this. You have to take this medicine. Is the doctor a tyrant? Is he oppressor? Is he a dictator? No. Mercy in his heart for his patient. He knows that the patient is finding it very difficult to swallow even one morsel, but he says, no, quarter chapati you have to eat. You have to. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our needs. He is our creator. He knows our spiritual needs. So He says, you have to carry out the faraiz, you have to carry out the wajibat. And sunnah, mustahab, nafal, it's up to you. The quantity of sunnah, mustahab and nafal, if you put them all together, they are far more in number than the faraiz and the wajibat. What Allah has made compulsory is very less in comparison to where he has given us choice. Makruhati tahrimi, haram is poison, stay away from it. Makruhati tanzihiya, it's up to you. It's not something good for you, but not harmful as well. But if you stay away, it's better for you. Choice. Makruhati tanzihiya. Dues fall into two categories, the compulsory dues and the optional dues. Don'ts fall into two categories, the compulsory don'ts and the optional don'ts. If you carry out the compulsory dues, listen carefully, if you carry out the compulsory dues, farais and wajibat, if you are very, very punctual and regular with all the farais and wajibat, and if you are very particular in abstaining from the compulsory don'ts, the haram and makruhati tahrimiya, you are the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not common wali. You are a special wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But special wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of a second degree. Second degree. That means you are the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are his friend and you love him very much. You are the ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, if you adapt yourself to carrying out the compulsory dues and the optional dues, so, farais is in your life, wajibat is in your life, sunnah is in your life, mustahab is in your life, and nafla is also in your life. And you have adapted yourself in such a way that you are abstaining from makruhati tahrimiya, haram, and makruhati tanziya. Then you reach the higher stage of special wilayat. And when you reach this stage, then you become the beloved of Allah. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. A person does not draw near to me, Allah says in Hadith Qudsi, a person does not draw near to me with any amal which is more beloved to me than what I have made compulsory upon him. That is fard, wajib, and abstaining from haram and makruhati tahriya, because that is also farz. To abstain from haram and makruhati is also farz. Allah loves farz. Allah loves wajib. A person performs two rakat farz and another person performs two rakat nafl. There is a vast difference between the two. When a person performs a farz, he is traveling by aeroplane. And when a person performs nafl, he is riding a donkey or a camel. That is the difference between the two. When a person carries out a fard, so when we are walking in the street, we get opportunities of carrying out fard by controlling our gazes. It's not only salat that is fard, it's not only zakat that is fard, abstaining from every sin is fard. And it is through this that a person reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in leaps and bounds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my servant is particular in regard to farais, wajibat, and abstaining from haram and makruhati tahrimiya, that is most beloved to me. And thereafter, he does not stop there, Allah says. He does not stop there. He does not say that, oh, this is farz, this is wajib, this is haram, makruhati tahrimiya, I will do this, I will stay from this. Sunnah is sunnah, it's not necessary. Mustahab is not necessary. Nafl, not necessary. Makruhati, not. No, he وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. And my servant does not stop there. He continues to acquire my nearness, my pleasure, my proximity through nawafil as well, through optional deeds, sunnah, mustahab, and nafl, حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, until he becomes beloved to me. And when he becomes beloved to me, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ, when he becomes beloved to me, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, I become his ears which with he listens. I become his ears with which he listens. I become his ears means I monitor and I look after his ears, so he will not be able to listen to anything which is unlawful. He will not be able to make mistake now because I am looking after him. He is my beloved. How can I let him do something that will displease me? كُنْتُ سَمَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَسَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْسِرُ بِهِ And I become his eyes with which he sees. وَرِجُلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا I become his feet with which he walks. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا I become his hand with which he holds, with which he grips. That means I control him, I look after him. I save him from the snares of shaitan, deceit of nafs. And I guide him towards those amal which are most beloved to me. And his status is so high in my court, وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُوتِيَنَّهُ That if he asks from me, I will definitely grant it to him. وَلَئِنِ اسْتَعَاذَ بِي لَأُوِذَنَّهُ And if he seeks refuge from me, I will definitely grant him refuge. So let us become true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to become true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The do's and the don'ts related to our outer body, and the do's and the don'ts related to our heart, the inner self. The whole deen. And we will be able to follow the whole deen if we learn the whole deen from the ulama. And we will be able to follow the whole deen if our souls are purified as a result of tazkiyah. So we will need to go to Mashaikh also. Let us make a firm resolution that we want to carry out all the do's of the body, the do's of the heart. We want to carry out, we want to abstain from the don'ts of the body and the don'ts of the heart. There are so many of us, alhamdulillah, who become religious and whose attire changes, whose face changes, alhamdulillah, beard, imama, headgear. So many changes come in life. But we don't realize that the change that has come in my life is only 10%. The remaining 90% I still have to change. And shaitan keeps us into ghafla. One of the greatest deceits of shaitan is, greatest trick, greatest deceit, is that he will only make us see our good. He will not let us realize our evil side. So we are here in Etikaf after 10 days. When we go home, what will we see? Alhamdulillah, I have performed Etikaf. 10 days Etikaf. And every day I was doing zikr. And daily I was listening to the bayans very attentively. But the ghiba here and there, we will not remember. Looking down upon people here and there, we will not, suspicious thoughts, we will not remember. If we look back, and if we think about our umrah, if we think about our hajj, 6 months ago, 6 years ago, we will remember all the positive points, that I performed so many tawaf, and I performed sa'i, and I performed this and that. And if someone asked, did you commit any sin during your journey, we have forgotten that. I am concluding now. It is for this reason our mashayikh advises, our mashayikh, the great luminaries from the time of Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi until today, from the time of the tabi'in, that one should daily sit down 5 minutes, 10 minutes and contemplate over the last 24 hours. Last 24 hours. If I don't, myself, if I don't contemplate, what will I see in the 24 hours? I am in Etikaf. Either I am reciting the Quran, looking at some books, or talking to people regarding dini matters. That is all I will remember. I will not remember anything else. Dua, recitation of the Quran, zikr, talking about deen. But if I close my eyes, in order to find out the very, very hidden things we have to get CT scan done, MRI scan done, we have to get X-ray done. So close your eyes and X-ray yourself. X-ray yourself that when I was doing zikr, there was one brother on my right hand side, two brothers on my left hand side. What thoughts were going through my mind at the time? Then we will realize. Then we will realize. Everybody was sleeping, and I was the last person reciting the Quran near the minbar, and I looked back and three brothers were not asleep, they were looking at me. What did I experience at that time? X-ray. What was the condition of my ruku and sujood? What was the condition of my salat? Sami Allahu liman hamida rabbana lakal hamd. I did not become motionless. And if a person does not become motionless, his salat is useless. Sami Allahu liman hamida. You have to become motionless before you go into sajda. Complete motionless. So a person should say Sami Allahu liman hamida, and he should not say Rabbana walakal hamd until he is standing straight. After standing straight, we should say Rabbana walakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana walakal hamd. So that will give us an opportunity to become motionless. We have to become completely motionless for a few seconds. Then we go into sajda. Allahu Akbar. If we don't X-ray ourselves, then on the day of Qiyamah, we will be assuming that I have got so many good deeds, but we will be empty-handed. So daily fix a time after Isha Salat, after Taraweeh, many brothers immediately engage in Tahajjud. Fine, Alhamdulillah. Either before engaging in Tahajjud, or after completing Tahajjud, close your eyes for a while and just go through the main points of the day. 5 minutes, 7 minutes. I woke up at 10:45. I performed wuzu. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me the tawfiq to do wuzu. Did I do anything wrong whilst? No, Alhamdulillah. Then I came into the masjid. I performed Salatul Dhuha. Was my intention correct from beginning to Alhamdulillah. And if we see any defect, Astaghfirullah. I am in Etikab. I have traveled all the way from India. I have traveled all the way from Barbados. I have traveled all the way from Denmark. I have traveled all the way from Blackburn and Burnley. And I am here. I'm sacrificing everything, all the comforts of the home. I'm away from wife, children, friends. And I'm not gaining anything here. When we go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same thing. I have left my home, family, everybody. Big sacrifice, and I'm not gaining anything. X-ray ourselves. And daily, when I was working, when I was driving the taxi, the passengers that were coming in my taxi, what thoughts were going through my mind, male, female? When I went to the town center, when I went to the shop, local shop, where was my gaze? The more we assess ourselves daily, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, we will realize our true worth. And when a person realizes that I am 10% good and 90% bad, I am 20% good and 80% bad, then a person will strive towards making his akhirah. And when a person does muhasaba, then he will detect his illnesses. That yesterday I was involved in backbiting, the day before yesterday, it's been 3 months and daily I am detecting that I am backbiting. Daily I am detecting that I am glancing here and there. So then he will look for somebody for guidance, that can you please help me? He will increase his zikr. He will increase his dua that, oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, help me. I am a teacher of hadith and I am engaged, I am involved in this sin. I am the imam of the masjid and I am involved in this sin. I am the amir of tabligh and I am involved in this sin. But if we don't realize our shortcomings, how will regret come into our hearts and minds? So inshallah we will all live from here with this firm resolution that we will become the slaves of Allah. In order to become the slaves of Allah, we have to carry out all the do's and abstain from all the don'ts. The do's of the heart, the do's of the body, don'ts of the heart, don'ts of the body. We will learn from the ulama by reading authentic, reliable books, and also wherever we need guidance, we will refer to our mashayikh, shuyukh. And whatever we learn, the concern and the fikr that comes in our hearts, we need to create that same fikr and same concern in other people also. Our wives, our children, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our friends, our well-wishers, those in our locality, those away from our locality, throughout the world, we need to create this concern in their hearts also, that Allah has created us to be His slaves. So let us become His slaves. Let us become His loving and His beloved slaves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to follow these advices. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa jameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين Have mercy upon us. وَارْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Forgive our sins. Forgive our major sins. Forgive our minor sins. وَارْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Forgive the sins of all our associates. Forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. وَارْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Enlighten our hearts with Hidayah. Enlighten our hearts with Yaqeen and Iman. Enlighten our hearts with the praiseworthy qualities. وَارْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Purify our hearts from debasing qualities. Warhamur Rahimin, grant us your love. Grant us the love of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Warhamur Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to strive for our akhirah. Warhamur Rahimin, for as long as you keep us in this world, keep us with Islam and Iman. When you take us from this world, take us with Iman. Take us with the kalima emanating from our tongues. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Wa arhamur rahimin, make the hereafter easy for us. Wa arhamur rahimin, spread hidayat through the four corners of the world. Wa arhamur rahimin, solve our problems of this world and the hereafter. Warhamur Rahimin, all our associates, friends, family members, all our well-wishers, every Muslim who has requested us to make dua for them or who expects us to make dua for them. Warhamur Rahimin, grant them all and grant us all and the whole Ummah the khair of this world and the khair of the hereafter. Warhamur Rahimin, accept our aitikaf, accept our fasting, accept our taraweeh, accept our recitation, accept our learning and teaching. Warhamur Rahimin, accept our azkar, accept our da'wah. Warhamur Rahimin, accept whatever little we have been able to do during the past days of Ramadan and past days of our lives. Warhamur Rahimin, whatever shortcomings we have, forgive our shortcomings. And Warhamur Rahimin, during the remaining days of Ramadan and during the remaining days of our lives, grant us the tawfiq to do only those things which bring your pleasure. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.